to, who can relate to what's on the inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
Where could I go but to the Lord?
Where could I go?
I come to you on this day, giving all honor and praise to Almighty God, who is certainly the head of my life, me and mine. Recognizing the pulpit associates, Minister Riley, Reverend MacMillan, my lovely wife, my beautiful, beautiful church family, the part that's here. It's an honor, it's a privilege, and it's always an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to stand before you and profess the word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Take now your servant's hand, Lord. Lord, as I come to you as humble as I know how, bringing nothing but my old ragged self, Lord, for that's all that I have. But I come before you as an empty pitcher, but I fully expect to be filled,
Jesus,
to overflowing, Lord. Just take control right now, Lord, of this vessel, and do with me what you wish, Lord. Have your way. Say what you want to say.
Yes, yes.
Move me and use me any way that you see fit. Lord, I submit to you. Lord, I submit to you right now for you just to come and use my mouth and use my mind, use my body, and that someone may hear a word from you, Lord.
Yes, yes.
Someone is in need. Someone needs to hear a word. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Use me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all bear with me today. I had a dissertation that I had composed this week. Notes that the Lord had me going, and then he started to change me even this morning. I had 2 minutes to begin with, and then he started to change those. And God has a way.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
You envision in your mind one thing all the way down to the audience that you will be preaching to. And God says, but I know what I got in mind, and he knew who would be here.
Yes, yes.
So we will do as thus says the Lord this morning. As I go through, I will just follow with him. I had one scripture which you heard read this morning, and he's given me another, and somehow they're going to tie together, but I'm not sure just how. But if you would, right now, turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. St. Mark 9. And I'm going to start with verse 14. And then read to where I think is the focal point of this message. Mark 9:14 reads thusly, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioned with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he now gasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Let me just go back a minute. But if thou canst do anything, never felt like that when you're praying to the Lord and you're going through something and it seems earthly impossible that you can get to where you're trying to go, or things are just not going like you think they ought, and you may say to the Lord, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us.
Help us.
But only to hear Jesus say, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. We want to use this morning as a topic. This is kind of a kickoff sermon for our season of miracles. I'll try to stay on course with that throughout the year, at least hit that from time to time. But this morning we want to use as a topic that God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. I wish Reverend McMillan's sister was here. I thought about her all week when I was preparing this, when God gave me that title, because you see it's an acronym. It's God is still on the throne. It's the G in God, the I in is, the S in still, and the T in throne. It's just. Sister Ruby Bullock, that's Reverend McMillan's sister, she says, gist. I always loved her when she said, you get the gist. So that's what we're doing. God is still on the throne. And as we go through, I want you just to get the gist of what we're trying to say. In this past week, this is one of the advantages of a small church. A small church is more intimate, so people feel free to ask questions. And it's nothing but somebody to pull me to the side and ask questions and expect answers. But in this past week alone, I had one person to pull me to the side and I wanted to talk about the simplicity of Christ. And either the same night or the next night, somebody wanted a clearer definition of miraculous. Oh. You see that contrast? Mm-hmm. So you went from simplicity to miraculous. And then I had somebody talk about just what it is how do you know when God is present? How do you know when God has really touched you? How do you know it's not just emotion? And how do you know when it's real versus emotion? And so I had all of that on my mind as I studied this week, and God started to show me some things. It started out that when we started talking about simplicity, I was led to a sermon that I did probably 2 or 3 years ago, and it talked about Paul's logic. And mm-hmm. His logic was, well, there must be a God somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go through this world, you have to come to sometimes those simple solutions like that. There must be a God somewhere. So that's where I started at with that sermon, because it somewhat addressed two of those topics. It addressed the simplicity of Christ. And so we looked at it, and then I went to a book that I was reading, and I saw some portions, a book written by Todd Ray. His book is In Pursuit of the Miraculous. And he asked the question, why should we expect miracles today? So I took all of that and I come up with the topic that God is still on the throne. Mm-hmm. God is still on the throne. As we enter into our season of miracles, I feel led to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. How well do you know God? How well do you really know God? Just address some of these simple questions and go to the miraculous. See, what I'm going to try to do as we go through this morning or this afternoon, in order for us to move and get all that God has for us, what he has for us in store this year, and mm-hmm. for us to get everything that he has, we need to go from the mundane to the miraculous.
All right.
See, we too many times are just, we go through the motions all the time, and so we get in a position that things are just status quo, and we don't expect any more than what we're getting. And, but God is trying to take us higher. He's trying to take us from the mundane to the miraculous, from the simple to the miraculous.
Yes.
So in order for us to move like God wants us to move, we need to gain a fuller understanding of who God is. Mm-hmm. Make it personal, you know. Mm-hmm. Who God is, instead of what people say God is and what I've learned and what my head knowledge is, but who God is and
yes.
His relationship and me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we need to understand, what is God capable of doing?
Right.
What is God capable of doing? Now, you know, I laugh because that's funny, because when we start talking about God's capabilities, uh-huh. you see, we start seeing it through our eyes. So
yes.
when we ask the question, what is God capable of? So God can do anything. God can do whatever God pleases, because God is still on the throne. Do you get the gist?
Yes.
For the gist. Whichever. So here are some facts we we need to see. See, it's a fact that we are limited by human capabilities.
Yes.
I want you just to soak that for me. See, we are limited by all of our physical limitations. We can only do what we are capable of doing. Is that right?
That's right. That's all I've been able to do.
That's all you can do is what you are capable of doing. So we've got human limitations, physical limitations that we can go, we can't go any further.
Right. Amen.
We've got mental limitations.
Mm-hmm.
We can't think past our human capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a fact. But thank God there's something that we can do. We can believe
all right
beyond what we can perceive.
And believe.
We can believe beyond what we can perceive. And what I'm trying to get to, we can believe in a greater than I.
Yes, yes.
You see, I can go so far, I can go as far as I can go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that I can do. But I can think that there's got to be something greater than me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
If not, I'm in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And you see why we oftentimes equate belief with faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all right. That's close. But there's a difference between faith and trust. I'm trying to show you something here this morning that God taught me this week. You see, faith is confidence.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And human faith can fail.
Yes, sir.
Come on, man.
See, let me show you what the Bible says on the fire. See, Luke 22 and 32 says, this is when Jesus was talking to Peter. He said, but I have prayed for thee.
Yes, that
thy faith fail not. So that indicates that faith can fail.
Okay.
See, I'm talking about human faith. You see, you have to understand human faith, because you have to understand human capabilities. You can't go but so far. You can't do but so much. So
mm-hmm.
your faith can fail.
Yes.
Human faith can fail, but trust will not.
All right.
You see, when you are committed
mm-hmm.
to trust in God, see, that's all in your control. I'm committed to trusting God.
Yes.
And why? What am I trusting God with? I'm committed into trusting God that He's got a faith that's stronger than what I've got.
Yes.
And the gift of God's faith mm-hmm. can do all things.
Yes.
Come on, man.
Yes.
Hallelujah. See, trust is commitment.
Mm-hmm.
When we trust God, we become one with Him.
Yes.
We are committed
trust
to Him. When we trust God completely, we become like a mountain that cannot be moved.
All right.
Listen to the word. Psalms 125 and 1 says this: they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion.
All right now.
Which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. So we trust in God that God can do
yes.
all things. God yes. can do anything.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. You get the gist. That God is still on the throne. So we start trying to tie this thing together, how God can do anything. When man is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So when we look from a human perspective with our human faith, and get some of those questions in mind. You talk about simplicity, and people talk about what it is, what's the difference between emotion and a real feeling. Just keep all those questions in mind, because we want to see if we can address some of them as we go through it. So this human perspective, this faith or belief, if we try to define it from a human perspective, we might come up with something like a commitment to trust in a greater than I. So I'm committed to trusting it. I'm not dependent on what Dwayne can do and what Dwayne can think, but I'm dependent on a greater than I. I'm committed to trusting one who's greater than I. I'm committed to him taking me higher than I can take me. He can get in under beneath my unbelief. That's what the man said to Jesus, "Help thou my unbelief." He said, "I've gone as far as I can go. I want my son healed. I want something to happen, but I've gone as far as I can. Lord, I got faith in you, but I can't go no further. Help thou my unbelief."
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Human faith. I'm committed to trust in God to gift me with faith. Look at the other side of that thing. From a divine perspective, what is belief or faith? Faith is a gift of God. I want you to make sure you get that. It's a gift of God, not a gift from God. See, a gift from God would be something different. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God himself.
Gift of God.
Gift of God that causes us to trust in a feeling. It causes us to trust in a feeling. You know, the songwriter said, he touched me.
Yes.
You ever been sitting in church or somewhere, and God, he touched me.
Yes.
And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Yes. Something
happened,
and now I know that he touched me and made me whole. It's something, it's a feeling that goes past what you can understand. It's a feeling that you know that there must be a God somewhere. You get the gist, don't you? That God is still
on the throne.
Get you where you can trust in a feeling. And so I say, what about it? Could it be emotion? Emotion will pass, but it's something about that feeling that God gives you, that takes you higher, that feeling that makes you feel like can't nothing touch you, that feeling that says the God I serve can heal me allow it. If I can just believe, if only I could believe, then all things are possible. If only I could believe.
Yes, only.
Help thou my unbelief. Lord, remove from me any doubt.
Yes, sir.
Touch me, Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory.
You know, the songwriter says, I got a feeling.
Everything.
That everything's going to be all right.
Yes.
Right in the midst of your pain, right in the midst of your trials, if you can just let go, he said, I got a feeling that everything's going to be all right. But you got to believe. You got to get past yourself. You got to get over you to understand that God can.
Mm-hmm.
if you can only believe.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I got a feeling
everything's
going to be all right. My mama told me way back, everything's going to be all right. When you're going through stuff and you couldn't see your way out, she said, everything's going to be all right.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
God is still on the throne. You see, in order for us to be able to expect a miraculous move of God, there's three things that we need to have a full understanding of. Hindsight, insight, and foresight. You see, hindsight is understanding or believing what has already happened. Hindsight, stories and experiences, stuff that you've heard and stuff that you've seen, the Bible would fit into that category. But things that in your past, stuff that you've been exposed to, that's your hindsight. Then you got insight. Insight said, what I need for my daily living. Insight, how I take my hindsight, how I learn from my hindsight, how I use my hindsight, how I use what I've been exposed to, how I use it. That's my insight. And and then your foresight is trusting God with what's ahead of you. So if we have proper insight, it says we can process what has happened and we can know that what's going to happen is in God's hands.
That's right.
Then we can have the proper insight for daily living.
Yes.
I'm going to try to show you something real quickly. We're going to come back to the same sermon. We're going to split into a part two since I got a pages and pages anyway. But if we watch how God operates, I just want to show you an example of how God operates. I'm going to show you some hindsight. And we're going to use the story of Gideon for hindsight. And just to show you how God works, how this miraculous God that we serve, how he works. You know the story of Gideon when the Midianites had captured them and was taking their food and just giving them a hard time. And the angel came to Gideon and he told him that. He said, I've come for you to set your people free. And
yes.
Gideon said, I don't see how I can do that. And if you are with us, God, why do you have us in this pickle that we're in?
Yes.
Hallelujah. He said, why do you have us in this kind of situation if you are truly with us?
And
the angel said to him that, I have come because you are a gallant warrior. We've come to set your people free. And, and Gideon, let me speed along with this story. See, Gideon said to me, he said, well, Lord, I want to believe you.
Yes,
see?
Sir.
He said, but I can't believe you because I'm bound by human capabilities. I can't believe you. So show me some kind of a sign. He said, I'll tell you what, you stay right here and I'm going to go and get you a sacrifice. And and he went and he got him a goat, and he brought the goat back, and he presented it to the angel. He said, now, it proved to me that God has sent you.
All
and
right,
the angel took out his staff and he touched it, the goat, they tell me, and it burned on the rock.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God.
But the story says that, but Gideon was still not convinced.
That's right.
But Gideon went back and he said to the Lord, he said, show me yet another sign. He said, I'm going to bring out a wool fleece, and what I want you to do is to, I'm going to put that fleece on the ground, and I want you to wet that whole fleece.
Yes.
But don't wet the ground around.
Yes.
Is that what he said?
Yes. Put that fleece.
He said, I want that fleece to be wet, but the ground around it dry. And when he came to it, he touched it, they tell me that he picked up the fleece and he squeezed a whole bowl of water out of it, but the ground was bone dry. But Gideon said, Lord, so you almost convinced me. He said, but do one more thing. He said, what I want you to do, he said, I'm going to put that same fleece back there, but this time I want the ground to be wet all around it, but I want the fleece to be dry.
Yes, sir.
God did it.
Yes, he did.
And then he told Gideon, he said, now, get your people together. And Gideon called 32,000 troops together.
Yes.
And God looked at him and he said, you got too many troops. He said, you're only going up against 100,000 people. You don't need 32,000.
Too many.
So he took away 22,000. And he left Gideon with 10,000. And he looked at Gideon and he said, you still got too many troops. He said, because if I let you go out there and win the war right now, you will say, we did it.
Yes, yes.
Y'all get the gist.
Yes, got the gist.
You get the gist of what I'm trying to say. That's the way, that's the way we are. So if God don't make it perfectly clear to us, then we think that we have something to do with it.
Yeah.
This is trying to learn from our hindsight.
Yes.
So he told them to take your troops down and let them drink water, and there I'll pick out the troops that you need. He said, put them down by the pond and let them drink. And when they drank, he said, all the ones that stick their head in, put them in one camp. And all the ones that drink with their hands, put them in another camp.
Come on now. All right.
And he ended up with 300. He said, now take that 300 and go up against the thousands and thousands.
Yes.
And you know the story. God gave them victory.
Yes, sir.
God gave them victory.
Yes.
They just simply made noise. They cracked.
Yes.
I think they had vessels that they cracked, but they just made noise and had lights, and the troops, the enemy, what the enemy thought, they said, it's something going on, all of that noise, and they started fighting each other.
Yes, yes.
But just to show you
how God works.
You see, when God saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in a fiery furnace. And what he did then, he could have saved them before they went in, but he had them heat the furnace up seven times hotter than it ever was. And when they threw them in, then God showed up.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. He's trying to show you about a miraculous
thing.
If only you can believe. He put Daniel in the lion's den. He didn't have to put him in the lion's den, but he put him in the lion's den so that there will be no doubt when God shows up. Hallelujah. But God has got so many stories in the Bible that we can read where he's shown up with the miracle. That's to give us hindsight. We have no excuse for our hindsight. God has shown us so many examples of how he can perform a miracle.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God is still on the throne.
Yes.
So, as I prepare to close, hindsight. So when this gentleman came with his child, and he had taken him to Jesus' disciples, and the disciples couldn't do anything. He came to the Lord and he said, if thou canst do
anything,
I want you to draw now on your hindsight, because if you didn't have any before, I just left you with some hindsight of what God can do. He said, if you can do anything, then have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. If you can use your hindsight when you're going through something this week.
Yes.
If you can use your hindsight and pick up your Bible and see what God has done and where he's been and all the miraculous things that he has done, and look at his recollection and use your hindsight and be able to move to only believe. Because if you can believe, all things are possible.
So good.
If thou canst believe, all things are possible. If you take your hindsight and use your insight and trust in God with your foresight. And know that there's no circumstances that are too difficult for God. No problem that he can't solve. If you can only believe.
Yes.
Healing.
Yes.
If you can believe.
Yes. Yes.
You got a child going through something. If you can believe.
Yes, sir.
If you can only believe, then all things are possible.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Know your hindsight, use your insight, trust God with your foresight. And as I prepare to close, I'm going to leave you with just a few words from this song. That my God is real. There are some things that I don't know. And there are definitely some places that I will never go. But I'm sure of this one thing. That God is real.
Yes, sir.
Because I can feel him.
Yes, sir.
In my soul. And all I've got to do is trust him. Trust him. Use what you got. Your trust, your confidence, and then let God do the rest. That feeling that you get, that some call emotion.
Yes.
Just verify that what I feel
God
is real. And if it's not, you go back and you say, Lord, help my unbelief. Take me higher. Take me higher, Lord. That I know what I've got is real, or I can feel it in my soul.
Oh, yes, sir, God.
God is still on the throne. Make sure you get the gist.
All right.
If you don't understand everything that I've said, just make sure you get the gist. There's some idea. I know what he was trying to say.
Jesus.
I got most of it. And don't be shy. If you want to call and talk to me about the rest of it, say, I got the gist, but I need a little bit more. Feel free to call. God is still on the throne.